dare I say that it's more of a new album versus an old album? You know what I mean? Because
it's long and bloated.
Oh boy.
Well, we're getting to that. But I just mean that it's not traditional classic Maiden. It's more of a modern take of Maiden. But I can see why they went with Brewdog, and I think that fits too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's something, personally, I'm going to drink the Trooper more than I'm going to drink this, but that's just me. Dave, your thoughts?
I'm kind of with Carl. I would probably, I typically go for more malt-forward beers, but this is nice and bright and refreshing, and I think hopheads would like it, even though it's not going to blow your mind, but I think it's a tasty, citrusy little beer.
Okay, cool.
It's a 4 for me.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a four for all of us.
Now, which singer do you like better?
Blaze Bailey. Oh, I'm kidding.
I think Juliana was about to come across the table.
Yeah. I was clenching.
Blaze did his best.
Who
can follow Bruce?
The thing about those two Blaze records is, for me, it's more about the production than it is about his singing.
Yeah.
Like, the songwriting is the same, right? It's still Steve who's mostly doing the work. I don't know, they all sound kind of muddy to me.
Mm-hmm.
I love those Paul Di'Anno records. Like, the first two, and then Made in Japan. Mm-hmm. I just love them, but I love them for what they are. And I think when you go from listening to Killers to then stepping into Number of the Beast, it's almost like a totally separate band.
Yeah.
Right. It's just, so Dickinson's my guy. Like, I think he's stood the test of time. I think that his body of work is much more complete. I think Paul Di'Anno is kind of one dimensional, in terms of what he's able to deliver behind the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I love those first two records.
Man, I was kind of like raised on Bruce. So when I hear the earlier records, I have a hard time. I know that's wrong because Killers is great. And those first couple records were great. But yeah, it's, for me, it's Bruce. And I think it's because I started seeing them live with Bruce, and that whole theatrics and everything that he encompasses, like, to me, is the big essence of Maiden. Mm-hmm. I mean, Steve Harris is as well, but you know what I mean?
I do.
Well, to be continued in just a minute.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. Slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, and keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. Today we are doing a special episode. We are doing a chats episode, and that's what we're doing. We're chatting and we're drinking beer. Some really interesting beer about an interesting band with an interesting guy, Carl Meyer, who is the founder of the Black Abbey.
I thought you meant Drew.
Well,
I mean, he's pretty interesting.
He is.
It's kind of weird to look at, but.
Well, there's.
That's why we're on the radio, right?
Exactly. Okay. Next up, we're going to talk about another beer. This is the third in our lineup. It's a 6.8% English porter, first brewed in 2016, a blend of chocolate and crystal malt that gives a full-bodied beer a roasted malt and caramel backbone. The Robinson's yeast provides hints of both licorice and honey to create a delicious, warming brew. From Iron Maiden's 2015 album, Book of Souls, this is The Red and the Black.
We're pouring it right now.
And we're drinking it.
We didn't totally open the wrong bottle. It's fine.
Oh, I totally opened
it. We're letting it warm up. I was like, this has got some age on it or something.
Oh, it does. That, and it's my fault. I brought a bottle of Trooper with the limited edition Day of the Dead label on it.
Yeah.
And it kind of looks like the label on Red and the Black. Yeah,
well, there's a guy with a, skeleton guy on there. Really. So
there is a skeleton guy on it. But yeah.
So anyways, as we're now drinking the Red and the Black, which that is a nice song for it being a newer.
It's not Long and Bloated.
Right. Well.
Quit saying Long and Bloated.
Yeah. We're going to.
That's just weird. Like the visual.
You're freaking me out, man.
I don't know. The last two. Book of Souls and Senjutsu have some tracks on them that could have realistically been shorter.
Yes.
That's as Forrest Gump would say. That's all I got to say about that. That's
okay. Right. Let's talk about a porter for a minute.
Okay. Now, this one looks like a porter. Mm-hmm. It smells and tastes like a porter.
Yes, it does.
I think, like we talked about with Trooper, Iron Maiden is a band for the working man, right? Like,
yeah.
They know exactly who they are, and they deliver just the way you would expect, right?
Yeah.
And I think this is much the same. This tastes like an English porter, right?
Yeah.
It's not over-the-top roasty. It's not over-the-top malty. It's, you could drink 10 of them.
That's what I like about English beers in general, is there's a lot more balance and control. American beers, a lot of times, go one way or the other. Like,
yes.
We're going to go all the hops.
Yeah.
Or we're going to go, all the sour, whichever way we're going to go.
Or all the lactose or whatever. Yeah. Yes.
Talking about bloated.
Where do you stand, Carl, on like bottled versus cans? Like, I think cans tend to keep better in general, but.
Yeah. We only put beer in cans. And as a European influenced brewery, when we were getting ready to open, we decided we were going to put beer in bottles. And I think that was from the very beginning, that was what we were going to do. And then when it came down to, okay, now it's time to start packaging beer. We had been open for 2 years. We realized that not only the mechanics and the expense of putting beer in the bottles were significantly more, but the cans really, there had been advancements in can technology, in how the actual cans contain beer and keep beer from being metallicized, if that's a word.
Yeah.
Just made that up.
Yeah.
I like it.
That we decided that cans were the way to go, and for a number of different reasons. The logistics and the money of it, because you could fit more cans on a pallet. Cans are lighter than bottles. Yeah. All of the packaging that goes along with bottles, the mother carton, the six-pack holders, the labels, the crowns, all that stuff.
It's
a lot of stuff. It's expensive.
Yeah. I just always like going into your brewery and seeing like walls of like cans.
Yeah.
It's cool.
And cans, there's no, your beer's not going to get light struck in a can.
That's true.
So yeah. I think it was cans for us.
So the reason I asked is because this is the first one we tried today that came in a bottle, and it's a brown bottle. So obviously brown is supposed to, protect.
It's a larger format.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Drew, what do you think about this English porter?
I mean, I enjoy it. It's very English.
Okay.
The first, craft beer that I enjoyed was a Newcastle brown ale. So, this very much reminds me of that. But, at 11 to, quote the world's loudest band, it's something that in a, what is that? A 500? No, seven. I don't know.
In a 16.9.
16.9. Yeah. Gosh, I guess I've been drinking cans for too long. That looks almost like a bomber, but anyhow.
It's not, but yeah.
It's something that I could conceivably finish off myself, but also share with someone else. And
yeah.
It's.
What do you think, JB?
I like it. It's very, it's English to me, and it's
not tatty.
No.
But it's good.
No, but it's easy. It's very drinkable. And when I think of a good English bitter or a good English beer, it's something where I can have a few of them and I don't have to think about it. I can just enjoy and be done with it.
And I think, this is just the nerd, but I can taste the similarity in the water.
Oh.
You know, I think there's a consistency between Trooper and this beer that is likely attributable just to the water.
Well, yeah, sure. You probably think a lot more about the water than a lot of people who drink. You just drink beer, you know. So. Yeah,
I mean, when people say, "Oh, you know, I tried beer from Founders, and all the Founders beers have a similar flavor characteristic." Mm-hmm. It must be their yeast. It's probably not. It's probably the water.
Probably the water. Yeah, sure.
That's how I feel about bread from New England.
Oh gosh.
Well, all right.
It's, true, it's a thing. Yeah, but it's a thing.
Yeah, yep.
I know.
Cool. Yeah. How do we want to go with this? Three?
Yeah, three. Yeah, all right. Three. Okay. Right. We're going to rate it to three.
All right.
Okay. What do you got for us, Dave?
Carl, when we were talking about doing this show, there were a few songs that you pointed out that you really wanted to talk about.
Yep.
And the first one is this one. The Cossack Lamps on. Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner from 1984, I believe.
Yep.
Power Slave.
Yep.
All right. Written by Steve Harris. Tell us why you picked that one.
Can I ask real quick, what's the length of that song, Carl?
13 and a half minutes.
Shut up. Yeah. You know.
Didn't get a lot of radio play.
Nope.
Except from really cool radio stations.
It's that's my favorite Iron Maiden song on my favorite Iron Maiden record. That break. Like coming out of the, like, you know, a full times 50
little,
living men.
Yeah, like no the acoustic.
Kind of, yeah, like, and yeah. Coming right back into that. You take this epic poem and translate it into a 1980s new wave of British metal song, and then piece it together in multiple, like, multiple song pieces, like multiple movements. Like, if this was Pink Floyd's Shine On You Crazy Diamond, right? It's, you know, you got Shine On parts 1 through 6 and then 7 through 9 or whatever it is. There's multiple movements in the song. And I just, that pull out of the long bridge into that the curse that lives on in their eyes part is just absolutely incredible for me.
Yeah.
And having seen them perform it, I think twice live, they're so tight. Like, the changes are incredibly tight.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know, blows my mind every time. And, like, what other song can you think of where the first guitar solo is at, like, 7.5?
Right.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. This song's already been going 7 minutes before there's even a solo. It's incredible.
This is one of the songs that really impresses me about Steve Harris. Like, I think his bass playing, there are other songs that are more impressive of his bass playing than this song, but for his songwriting and the fact, like, when you look at him, and this is like, you can't, you know, judge a book by its cover, but you don't, when you look at Steve Harris, you don't get history buff, you know, poetry aficionado. Like, you don't see that in most, when you look at a metal bass player, you know, but this guy loves history. He loves the literature and all the things.
Oh, but they all do.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's like the big backbone of what makes Maiden Maiden.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is they're the combination of like your best and your favorite historians with a bit of Python thrown in for good measure and a very blue collar work ethic where, I mean, they're still freaking touring now. And it's like, I mean,
yeah,
they're not exactly 20 anymore, but
And to call it back to the singer, the difference of the singers, for me, it's not so much about the difference between Deano and Dickinson. It's the addition of Adrian Smith.
Mm, and okay. That's fair. Yeah.
Like Adrian came in, he didn't play on the first record. He played on Killers, but he was very much like still the new guy.
And then, finding his way.
Yes.
Sure.
And then Dickinson comes in and Adrian's got a little more stamp on what gets on the songwriting in mm-hmm. Number of the Beast, and the production is different. The sound quality is different. Like, it's just
everything
a little crisper, a little mm-hmm. less punk, a little more prog, if that makes sense.
Oh, no, that for me is the difference.
We don't talk about prog.
Oh,
on this
no,
show.
We talk about prog all the time.
We talk about prog on this show.
We are big fans of prog.
Yeah. Like,
bam, once again.
Dawn of the Dead. That record is tons of time changes, but it's, I mean, that's Adrian's influence. Like, that's, mm-hmm. all right, talking about song clips, I also asked you to pull out Reach Out, which was the B-side on the Wasted Years single. Maiden was really good about putting B-sides on their singles that were covers.
All right, hold on.
This one's not.
That's like a different band to me.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's sure. Adrian saying, yeah. Right. And he's just, but you can hear Wasted Years in that. You can hear Stranger in a Strange Land in that.
Oh, yeah.
You can hear Heaven Can Wait in that. And I think that Adrian's influence on the band is oftentimes,
I know Wasted Years is one of Julie's top ones.
Yeah.
So. Same.
Yeah.
That's cool. All yeah. right.
No, that is cool.
All right. Well, we've neglected Drew a little bit, which we enjoy, but
I've been sitting on my hands pretty well.
Okay. Right, so, well, now it's your time
so
to shine.
Drew here. Actually does like Iron Maiden, and so here's one of the songs he picked. That is 2 minutes to midnight.
The hand that threatens doom.
Okay. We're not doing all that.
And I was a communication major in college, and so we did a public speaking class. And one of my buddies who was pre-med also took that class because it was our senior year. And he was like, whatever, I'm taking this with you. And there was an episode or a lab where we had to read a poem, and he read that song lyric.
How'd
the
he
entire
do?
Song.
Yeah.
And from memory, it was great. He did a great job. But the jellied brains of those who remained, but the finger right on you in that line, there was this, I mean, very timid, shy little Asian lady who was sitting in the girl. I mean, those were children.
Just fell right over chair.
And he was looking everywhere else in the room. And then when he said, put the finger right on you, and he put his finger right in her face, and she screamed. It was so funny.
Now that,
oh boy,
that
it was great.
Is awesome. Awesome. Well, Drew, so like what? So this was also from 1984 Power Slave. What did you like about what pulled you into that song?
I came to Iron Maiden much later in life than probably the rest of you.
Well, you came to the world much later
this is, than the rest of this us. This is true. This is true. I'm the baby with my gray hair. Believe it or not, I actually didn't really start listening to Iron Maiden until I met Carl. And I was heard them in the Black Abbey tap room. And I've been more of a progressive metal fan than, you know, traditional British metal, if you can call anything about Iron Maiden traditional. And what I really have loved about Maiden as I have gotten into them in the last 10 years or so is the stories that they tell, the commentary on society, on events. You know, it's poetry with power guitar, and I absolutely love it.
Cool. Yeah, and a singer that can blow.
There you go. All right, let's blow through this last beer.
Okay. So very quickly, we are going to talk about the Fear of the Dark beer. First brewed in 2020. It's a 4.5% English stout.
Feel a little strange, a little anxious when it's dark.
And one of my favorite songs live.
Fear of the dark.
Like, favorite songs live. Okay, so as a stout, what do you guys think of this?
Very English.
Yeah, it's a meh for me. Okay. Like, I like stouts to be either Irish, like Guinness, where it's got this sort of back end, almost
dry.
Yeah, boom. It's so dry, it's almost tart. Or I like them to be big and roasty and
chocolate.
Thick.
Yeah, and this one kind of falls off the mark. Yeah. Well, we are going to rate, sadly, the Fear of the Dark a 2.
But do better, Iron Maiden.
But the song is phenomenal.
It's a 5.
It's great.
It is. Well, that is going to wrap it up for today. This was such a great episode. And a special thanks to our guest, Carl.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
From the Black Abbey Brewing Company. Tell us how we can find you on social media.
Instagram is probably the best way. You could get me at Black Abbey Brewing. You could get me at Black Abbey Carl is mine. And then I also do vinyl DJ. And my vinyl DJ Instagram handle is DJ Dad's Been Drinking.
Nice.
Good old boy Drew, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Good old boy Dave.
Hey, I'll play my favorite Iron Maiden song.
I left alone. My mind was blank. I needed time to think to get the memory.
This is
from
my new favorite.
Of course.
Mambo Kurt.
Yeah. All right. This is good old gal Juliana. Keep on chuggling and catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast, Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back. Join us for another episode. And keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the dude in the basement studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.
No.